The recent death of a homeless man in a New Hampshire jail has brought renewed attention to the practice of jailing people for minor crimes when they can't afford bail. 26-year-old Jeffrey Pendleton was found dead in his cell at the Hillsborough County House of Corrections in Manchester last month. He was being held on a misdemeanor marijuana possession charge after he could not afford to pay his $100 bail. Pendleton's cause of death remains under investigation. Gilles Bissonnette is legal director for the New Hampshire ACLU, and he joins us now to talk about this issue. Good morning.
Good morning, Rick.
Now, getting into this issue of why he was incarcerated, he was in for, he could not afford the $100 bail. He was homeless at the time of his incarceration. How widespread a practice is this in New Hampshire for holding somebody in for a violation on low bail like this?
We don't know, and we're looking into it, and there's some other folks in the state who are looking into it as well. I think what we do know is that nationally, this really is a big problem. And I think Jeff's case potentially highlights some of the growing problems we've seen throughout the United States with excessive bail. Because essentially, imposing high bail on a poor person who's been charged with a low-level offense is really the same as convicting that person. And this is because through this pretrial detention, the poor person essentially already serves his sentence before they've even been convicted. And this has a really big impact on poor people. You know, here, Jeff would have stayed in jail until his next court date, which would have been approximately 1 month. So he would have served 30 days in jail before he had any ability to even contest the charge that he was arrested for.
So again, we don't have numbers, hard numbers for here in New Hampshire. Do we have numbers nationally for how often this is happening?
What we do know is, according to a report by the National Institute of Corrections, which is an agency within the Department of Justice, an estimated 500,000 people are in the country's jails on a given day because they cannot make bail. So that's not broken down by a small amount of bail or a large amount of bail, but that's a large population.
What do you see as the fundamental argument, though, against this practice, if not for these bail amounts, which are for most people would be considered rather low? What are the alternatives is what I think I'm asking here.
Sure. Well, there are some alternatives. We've seen some work, in other states addressing different approaches. And here, in fact, in New Hampshire, the Interbranch Criminal and Juvenile Justice Council, of which the ACLU is a member, has heard about different possible approaches to bail, including a data-driven risk assessment model. And under this particular approach, a defendant's risk of being released on bail is examined by a tool constituting a series of questions about the defendant's history and the charged offense. So this is an approach that I think we still need to study in New Hampshire. I mean, one alternative as well is a limiting cash bail for nonviolent offenses altogether. This is an approach that the city of New York is taking. They, this year, have been allowing judges to substitute bail for thousands of low-risk defendants. The District of Columbia, as well, has a non-financial bail release system. So there are alternatives out there, and we'll assess those approaches.
Is there some kind of data that would indicate, though, if there were no cash bail alternative, if these alternatives were implemented, is that incentivized people not to show back up for their hearing?
I don't think so. And I think when you look at some of the states that have implemented, no cash bail, they're not seeing necessarily high rates of people not showing up. And really, it doesn't have a huge impact. And the risks of having a cash bail system, as we've seen in Jeff's case and other anecdotal cases throughout the country, is really severe. This practice has a real impact on poor people. Pretrial detention, can cause job losses. They can cause evictions. Parents can lose custody of their children and may have a difficult time regaining it. And all of this happens, or all of this can happen, by the way, even when the case is ultimately dropped. And that's actually what happened to Jeff in one of the cases we represented him out of Nashua, where he was arrested and spent 33 days in jail simply for walking in a park. And he spent over a month in jail because he couldn't post a $100 fine. We got involved in the case and got the criminal charge dismissed. This really does have huge consequences for poor people throughout the state and the country.
Now, the Department of Justice actually weighed in on this issue just a day after Jeffrey Pendleton's death with an advisory. What did that say?
Yeah, in Jeff's case, he died one day before the Federal Department of Justice issued a memo to all chief judges throughout the country stating that, quote, courts must not employ bail practices that cause indigent defendants to remain incarcerated solely because they cannot afford to pay for their release. So the federal government has been active in trying to lead the way to address some of the problems we're seeing with bail.
Any reaction here in New Hampshire to that advisory?
I don't know. But what I do know is that the courts are aware of it and they're sympathetic to these concerns. And so I think, we need to, number one, address whether this is a systemic issue in New Hampshire. Number two, I suppose, whether it's systemic or not, just try to see whether or not these alternative approaches would work in our state.
Gilles Bissonnette is legal director for the New Hampshire ACLU. Thank you so much for the time.
Thanks, Rick.